clue somebody else upon those intentions.
I will request that this space is only occupied by members. The observers take one out of this and don't want to present it. Let me welcome all of you honorable members. Together with the observers, this is a follow-up meeting. Follow-up to our last meeting. Here today to consolidate a program we've met with the department, we've listened to the experts. The program was put some time back to us by DECO. Now we have attended the head of the mission, the conference, and we seem to be having a number of perspectives now to be able to put a program together. We're starting 45 minutes late because of the late coming of members. It has become a trend in this committee that we don't start on time. We try to put people together in order to form a quorum. I am very critical of the majority, but in here it's in my time. At the beginning of the meeting, we have never had four people out of the eight or nine people. I'm very critical. I can understand the smaller parties because some of them, they have one person. And if that person is engaged in the meeting, then you would understand, like, the apologies we have from others who are having some other issues. But it's for the ANC to sort out this issue. It leaves much to be desired. I'll just leave it there. The workshop which we attended, very important last week, we were only five and became eight with the staff members. But MPs were not there. Some. Yes. We were five and eight with the staff members. There were two from DA, one from CO, and two from DA. I hope colleagues will take this matter very seriously. Because the danger is that when people do not invite us into this conference, we are the first to complain that we are being sidelined. When we give them an opportunity, we're not there. In fact, it was wasteful expenditure because I think the hotels where all of us were put were so expensive and our rooms were not occupied. I'm raising it not for discussing, but for noting a different party group discussion. But I'm also calling for the majority party to show leadership and responsibility on this issue. You have an agenda, a proposed agenda. Let me just start with the apologies before we continue. We have an apology from General Bantu Olomide. He said he would not be able to attend the meeting. There's an apology from Honorable Mabetha Paul, who is on leave. She has discussed the issues with me because of the state of health. Which is the other apology? Oh, yes. Reverend Mission is coming late. any other pollution. I will also take this opportunity to welcome the new member of the committee. Mr. Sundusa, am I right? You're welcome. So welcome, man. Any other new member? The old new Manana, you're welcome.
Thank you, Chan.
But I know that in the ANC there has been some restructuring. We will see those names as they come. We prefer that the ANC deals with this so that we are very clear who is with you. The sooner that is sent to the secretary, the better. But it must be noted that that change in people in the middle is a bit disturbing. We're from serious workshops where all the members now seem to be on board. They are starting to crew. Now they have to be changed, and then we have to have new people. But we will live with that because of the decision of the political party. But we would prefer that there must be stability. But I would love the various parties in their own caucuses to talk about this matter. For instance, Dr. Connie Mulder was going to be here for an hour, but it's like he's not here, he's just here at the beginning of the meeting, has to leave for that meeting, for another meeting. I also have an apology and I request somebody to stand in. At 11, I have to attend a meeting of the PGII, this Parliamentary Group on International Issues. It's a very serious matter because one of the issues, I think, it has emerged in all the workshops, the lack of coordination on what is done that side, what is done at the level of the department, what is done at our level. That meeting is going to be very important. But I think given the nature of this particular meeting, it will allow me just to slip out and come back. Here is an agenda, colleagues. On number 3, the presentation, there will be 3 documents each. Our content researcher will present. The orientation workshop report, there will also just be an accompanying document, summary of the key issues. The third document will be the key issues emanating from the Sandton conference. Very interesting issues emerged from that conference. Then on number 4, we'll go on breakaway. On the breakaway, we're going to start consolidating our program based on the documents which we have. That's what we're proposing. Is there any other business honorable members would like to raise? None. Seeing that there's none, we will adopt this agenda, moved by Honorable Magama and seconded by Honorable Dr. Connie Mulder. If I call your name, you're objecting, you say, no, I'm not seconded. Let's go to the presentation. Let's go to the presentation. I hope that Honorable Dr. Mulder has all the documents in the economy. Thank you. Ms. Musala, over to you.
Thank you, Captain. just by way of introduction, what we are doing today is a continuation of the exercise we started with the orientation workshop, which was facilitated by the Department of International Relations. followed by the conference in Sandton, where Head of Mission had discussions. And then this is the third link.
I apologize for the interruption. I've just been notified that we have a very important person as a visitor amongst ourselves. Madame the Trinidad Marina, am I right?
Yes.
Madame is from the Pan-African Parliament. You know that it's a very important institution which we're trying to build as part of our program of consolidating the African. Madame, you're welcome.
Okay, thank you, Marina Trinidad, from the moon. I'm a staff member of Pan-African Parliament. We are here for assessment with the Executive Parliament.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Coincidentally, I was reading this morning a paper by the former deputy president of the country of South Africa, Valerie Lambert, an article on the Pan-African Parliament. And I invite all of you to read that article. I'll make copies. Bulela will give you that. Sorry for that interruption, madam.
Thank you, Ted. I was trying to connect the work that we have done to what we are trying to achieve, which is a strategic plan for the next 5 years for the community. So the information that we are going to use is the information that we gathered from the West Orientation workshop, which was conducted by the department, and some key issues emanating from the conference which was held for Head of Mission in Sandton, together with any other activity that the committee would like to include. So in the sense that we don't seem to have much time, I will perhaps keep some of my slight details which deal with the mandate of Parliament, hoping, knowing that members know what Parliament does, and jump straight to what relates to us, which is the committee's work. The committees do bulk of Parliament's work, and they're described as the engine room for Parliament. And portfolio committees themselves, they shadow the work of the national department. Hence, the work of committees is not restricted to government only. They may also investigate any matter of public interest that falls within their area of responsibility. So it's not only work that is related to the department, but they can also consult the wider public about issues which relate to the committee. So the role of committees in general emanates from the mandate of Parliament, which is to oversee the work of the department and hold the department accountable, and oversee the accounts of national government departments, consider bills, and consider strategic members and provisional legislative proposals and specific petitions, consider international treaties and agreements, and then they also have power to summon any person to appear before them. So now we zero into the mandate of this committee, which is connected and is flows from the mandate of the Parliament, as I have explained. It's just that now we try to zero into the work of the committee. The committee will consider legislation to get to it, There isn't much legislation coming from the department, coming to this committee, but that is part of the work of the committee. It also exercises oversight over DICO and its entities, and it considers international agreements to refer to it. It considers the budget. It has to facilitate public participation in these processes and also consider all other methods referred to it. Then, in general, this is what the committee is supposed to be doing in relation to the work of the committee, the work of Parliament. Now, unless there are any questions, I would like to go straight to another presentation which connects with this one. Then, if I tell them, I jump straight to the next one. Now, I would like to talk about now our plan, what we should consider when we do our plan, and what issues are going to affect us. First of all, there are headline topics, which we read from the newspapers, we hear from the radios and media in all its categories. So we need to consider those headline topics which were prominent in the past 5 years in order to build them into our program and see which issues might need our attention. From there, we need to look at the parliamentary program, because it dictates to the activities that the committee is going to undertake. And then there are outstanding issues from said parliament. Members will remember that two presentations were made last time, the legacy report and the 5-year report. So we need to take those issues, which we need to take forward from those two reports. Then we need to look into the monthly expenditure of the department. As we had agreed in the last workshop, that the committee believes that it needs to at least monitor quarterly reports from Treasury, while monthly reports on expenditure will also be considered for continuity and also monitoring systems of expenditure trends of the department. We also need to consider the budget of 2009 to 2010, and then also take into consideration the strategic plan for Parliament and the recommendations which are going to be made for the 5-year program. These are the issues which we need to take into consideration. The topics are just but a few of what the South African media and international media reflected on in relation to South African foreign policy. And members are free to add or do away with some of them if they think they are not of major importance for the work of the committee. I will not go through them one by one, but definitely the voting patterns of South African delegations to the UN on human rights issues was one issue. The effectiveness of NEPAD, the state of readiness of the continent to get into a union government or the United States of Africa, and elections, whether elections are a real true reflection of the entrenchment of democratic principles, the situation in Zimbabwe, Al Bashir issue, xenophobic attacks, the new policy focus because of multicolor dispensation that is emerging, disarmament issues, conduct of our envoys abroad, conduct of our companies abroad, peace processes in DRC, and issues relating to the Dalai Lama, the crisis in Madagascar. So these are just a few of those key issues. I mean, issues which may take a headline in the past 5 years, which we need to look into in order to draw our progress. And then we now have to look at the parliamentary program. As we said, it has to inform our program. Members are aware that the second term is about 7 to 8 weeks. This second term which we are planning for, plus in the other coming. So oversight or legislation period is given 2 weeks. And this time allocated translates to at least one visit per province per year for domestic oversight. For example, I put there public diplomacy because the committee hasn't had any content related oversight domestic. So this is just an example of what the committee could consider doing internally. And then to cover 9 provinces in 5 years means we do 2 provinces per year. Maybe we start a program of public diplomacy. So clearly it shows that we don't have any sufficient time to undertake oversight speaking. As much as, you know, more than what the parliamentary program is suggesting. Then we should also look at the outstanding issues from the said parliament. As I indicated, those who are here is what we discussed under the legacy report and under the 5 year review report. And also we should take into consideration legislation. So far we are aware that in the past 5 years the committee only dealt with one piece of legislation from the department, and according to the report we have now, the department has indicated that they are not envisaging presenting any legislation this current year. Much as we know, the department is in the process of establishing SARPA. We were hoping that maybe that would have come this year, but I think it's like the establishment of SARPA, the legislation will be ready this year. Then we need to follow up on the presentation of the annual report, which was not completed last year. That the committee can decide if it wants to still continue with that. And then there was only one oversight visit taken to headquarters, Victoria, where the committee went to observe whether the headquarters campus was complete. And it looks like we'll have to try and cover at least all provinces in the next 5 years in our program in order for us to do justice to the program. And then we remember that from the 5 year review, the research unit recommended monitoring of policy implementation in priority areas. That seems to be lacking. Then we have a strategic plan from the department, but we were informed that there will be a finalized version to be presented. Then our strategic plan of the committee must be aligned with that of the staff members, the one that we have currently. And the committee needs to select key areas to oversee from that aligning itself with the strategic plan of the staff members. The committee will remember that the Auditor General's office reported that the department has been receiving unqualified audit reports in the past 5 years. However, there was a concern raised relating to staff components which result in delays in submission of requests. And then we also, the committee then recommended that they are going to at least consider or examine quarterly expenditure of the department. So that we need to take that into consideration too. The committee now will also have to take into consideration the budget of the committee. The committee secretary was going to give us our balances of July now. I don't know if you have that July. Okay. I think that's the one. But I'm sure we started off with 450,000. I'm sure with the conference that we had and other issues, it must be less than that. So definitely it's not sufficient to achieve the committee's yearly objectives. For example, if we think of the coming conference of IFSA, the IFSA summit, which is supposed to be held in Brazil in October, and also maybe the committee might want to have a study tour, maybe to the African Renaissance Fund project areas, just to see how the money is being spent, or follow up on human rights issues in the continent, with Zimbabwe. It looks like there isn't much budget. Then, so it means the committee will prioritize on the activities relating to travel. Then our program and budget should allow us to at least visit all provinces every year, or at least a few for the program, and also to cover at least 1% of the population project locally. This is a phenomenon which hasn't happened before. There are projects which the community can oversee, which are joint projects with cooperative partners, and the committee definitely should have interest over such projects. For example, the Dika Gupa project in the Eastern Cape, some oversized project which has that element of partnership involvement emanating from the cooperation and relations South Africa has with countries of the East. So we need to also visit projects like that locally. And then I won't go into the study plan of Parliament, because there's no time, and I believe members are well conversant with it. And I should also just explain the documents which were are before members, to say the document on the titled Orientation Workshop on South African Foreign Policy. It's a tax report which we thought we should still circulate to members. We haven't yet fine-tuned it. Might have some typos, it might have some issues which we need to revisit. We just distributed the facilitate the discussion for today, but it's work in progress. And then the one on key issues emanating from the head of mission conference can also be used to guide members when they're ready to see which areas we can concentrate on. And the other shorter document was an attempt to summarize, to come up with key issues from the bigger report, which will still be completed. That document is still to be finalized too. So in conclusion, Professor, I could only say the committee should consider a number of issues, but looking at the time that we have and the budget, one is that we can say we are going to be dealing with a number of issues within this time, as we are only allowed two meetings outside Parliament a year. Two meetings outside Parliament, like the workshop we had outside Parliament, locally, but outside Parliament prison. We are allowed two meetings per year. And then we are allowed two overseas study visits during the 5 year period. So that is also limiting the work of the committee, because the bulk of our work is the outside world. And then we are allowed two local oversight visits per year. Two local oversight visits per year. This is what comes from the memo which was written by House Chairperson guiding the committees, you know, for the purposes of drawing up their program. And then we should also have details of oversight work intended, some of the issues which we have raised there. And then details of anticipated legislative program. For us, the department has set the webinar this year. And then details of accountability work, what we are going to be considering, annual report, budget, and others. And then details of training needs for the committee. It has been set not for individuals, but for the committee. So we can use SWOT analysis for that to see where the strengths are and the weaknesses and where we need to beef up in order for us to come up with a training program. And then we should also look at coaching of the program. And deadline for submission is 28th of August. So, Chairperson, I think with these two presentations, I would say thank you. And I will just highlight and leave on the screen an example of what our strategic plan can look like. But members are free to, when they break into groups, to come up with a format which will be accepted by all. So I don't know if there are any questions. Okay.
I do not want us to discuss what we are here. This is all the documents we have been discussing in the different and the issues that are here. What she was trying to do was just in a summary way to remind us of all the issues that, as you put your plan, you must put those. This is a way forward which I want to propose now, so that we go and do this, we do the work from now on. But we will have to decide on the two options. The first option would be, there are four broad areas. You know, the African agenda is the multilateral, what else?
Is the African agenda
South.
That's
it. Global. Thank you. Now, what we can do is to group ourselves into two. We say one group takes two topics. And then put a flag along this line. I think we're talking here. We're talking a strategic thing. But maybe you take this group, I'm just making an example, you take African agenda and South-South. Then you have to put it. All the debate will take place there. About what activities you think we must follow, but guided by all these documents. The other one, we will take the multilateral and north to south and put them into activities like this. Mpo is with another group, Dineo is with another group. But what we can do, and then we come back here in the form of the plenary and we present. But we can only do today, each group can only do one topic. We must just be honest, because we must be thorough in terms of what we're planning for ourselves. We can't be able to do everything. We say, group one, go and do the African agenda and the other topic. Then we have a day. And I think here we must sacrifice because we have a deadline of the 28th. We have a day where we will have to meet outside the normal time, whether we're starting at 4, where there's an opening, we continue until 7 or 8. Just making those presentations here, the two presentations from this week. Or alternatively, you do one topic today, you come back at 11:30 to present on one area, and the other grouping does the same, then we consolidate and finish that. We left with, in each of the groups with one. Then we have another session to do that and finalize. But it must come from you on the basis of all these documents. Here is an outline. That's the proposal. Are you in line with this proposal? Or, but this is the thinking. I'm still coming to the moment. That's the proposal. Is there any other set option we want to put in? So those are the options, but now we're putting it to the members. Let me repeat the options. Option one is that this side, this grouping of honorable members, take the first two topics, put them in a programmatic way, like this, and put all the issues, all the activities, objective of the activity, performance indicators, the time frame for that activity, and the budget for that activity. They are not new activities. We're pulling them from all these documents, and we already have them. But it must be in the form of a discussion, not imposed on the MP. then you come back here, you report after an hour that here are the activities, and then we have some comments and some debates. You just take one. Or alternatively, the same group will do the same with the other two. Alternatively, you deal with both, we have a different day and a session for reporting back on both topics. It's up to us. But it means that session will have to be, we can't wait for next week. Because next week we must be finalizing the document. It must be early next week if we have to have that session. And I suspect that would the coming Wednesday be okay? No, we must be. But okay, maybe we'll do that next week on Wednesday. But I'm putting it to you, and even any other option you're thinking of, I've thought about these options. Another one.
Thank you, Chair President. I think because we've got a problem of having an economy now, it doesn't guarantee us that when we send in for court next week, Wednesday, we might have a problem and time is money for some. So what we'd rather do is, the issues are interlinked. If you look at the African agenda and the South-South cooperation, it's more extensive. And if you look at the multilateralism and the North-South, it's more or less the same thing. So we've got sufficient information that we can kill two birds with one stone. 1 hour is enough. Because if we're not going to put philosophical or theoretical things on, we're just going to put concrete, straightforward-looking objectives. So I think we can do everything today and get it last finished. And then we know that we've got our program running. Because of to say next week, I think we're going to have a situation where now we've got another crisis. And then we've got to postpone. So I think that we use the best with what we have here. This is the most well-attended meeting ever of the committee. So let's use it while we still can. That's my proposal.
I will take the opportunity to welcome another congressman. We did receive the approach. Praise the Lord, sir. any other ideas?
I hope I won't be confused. I was just thinking, maybe in the now that most of the members are here, perhaps we could for the next 30 minutes consider together, not working separately, so that members can talk to the same issue at the same time, and then so that we are able to finish at least one objective, why the members are together, and we move to the next one so that we move faster rather than maybe we thought of breaking, you know, into groups, but when I look at I think maybe it's better, it could be helpful for members to talk to the same issue together when we finish.
Let's take Jordan an idea.
Yeah. That's not an option. I'm just supporting what you're saying. I think the group is small enough to be able to collect it. Yeah. Instead of breaking up a class because there are not too many. I think it's better that all of us agree to discuss on issues that we come out of here. We all have the same view of that. Because, you see, my fear is that when we get into the group, when we come back, we all have to look at those inputs anyway, from groups, and then consolidate and agree on that. I think I've got to share it.
It seems to be
Okay.
Yes,
sir. Yes, sir.
For once, I agree with the DA.
Thank you. That you find me. I'm going to make sure that you find me.
There are relations and cooperation.
Now, we are going to request. We are going to request now and before. Flesh this thing nicely as we identify the activities. in each and every session. Maybe what we will do is to quickly identify the activity. The objectives are always very clear from this session. We will request you again, the two of us, to go and polish that document and put it nicely. And even start putting the real figures. Then that might be a document to be tabled next week for adoption. Do we agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go there now. Colleagues, in this process, we're going to go into a workshop mode. Like, don't think about the second time. Can you see that lunch?
No.
There's no lunch? No, there's no lunch. There's no lunch. It's the economic crisis. Austerity measures. How think Parliament is suggesting, followed by Western change. So even here, they want to do it. We only come from cars, so even when it comes to food, we must do that. What I'm going to request you, colleagues, I made a request that I'll just jump out for about 30 minutes. I'll just pick up the number of cars. But for now, we're together. Can we go to the African agenda? Can we go to the African agenda and say, what are the activities there? What are the key activities under the African agenda? Do we want to say, Mpo and Dineoma raise those activities, possible activities, and then we have the members of faith in addition to what they would give us. But you see, there's one activity I feel very strong about. I think it would be proper in our sense that there is a vision. Is a business system. Got to look at, to hear what the non-state actors are saying about the progress in relation to this agreement. A visit to him is going to be one of the things. And I would also argue that a visit, we have to choose between him and Sudan. We have to choose because we are allowed two in 5 years. But the second one, I feel very strong. The Middle East, in particular, Israel and Palestine. We have said we are encouraging a two-state solution. We're subscribing to that. What is going on there? How are we handling that situation, which is very delicate, dedicating that part of the world? That's going to be one of the I'm not very excited about the visit too. I'm just listing the activities to me. I'm not very excited about the visit to the headquarters.
Why not?
To work in the department. Teach and listen to the people. We can call those people to come here when we want to do something. I'm not very excited, but I'm excited about the visit. A visit to what I would call the constituents. I don't know how many are we allowed there. can we be able to go into each of the provinces in terms of this public diplomat and have a group of stakeholders and on particular areas of whose focus which we can be able to say we want to hear them, how they perceive us and so on and so on, as the ordinary citizen in relation to those areas. But of course, if there is time, there is money, we might go to the headquarters. But I thought that it's very normal to go to the headquarters to Victoria and so on. Okay,
this no, but this was coming from the legacy report.
Okay.
And there were reasons for that said parliament to agree that at some point the commission needs to go and see, because currently the Department of International Relations and Cooperation is scattered all over Victoria, and that is creating problems for coordination of the work and other issues. So that's the rationale why at some point everything according to the plan that was presented to the portfolio committee, then once the project is complete, it will be ideal for members to go and see as to how it is now going to assist the department to better implement the going policy. It's not just a by the way business, it's informed by what the mandate of the department.
Just like myself wanting to move from Good Hope to here. Okay. They are going to move into the I want to support your position. That we look at those disabilities, those are the core. I want to add one, and that is the...
Are you writing that?
I want to report what the person has put on the table. I think that's the key issues for the African agenda. I want to add one, and that's the regional economic integration in studies, especially with regional security. The regional economic integration in studies must be added to one of the points. That's your priority.
Let me also just check on this subject is a very important issue. Is it a visit or we need a session on this issue?
Okay, just to say perhaps it's of to so that we are able to capture the actual proposal. Maybe with just a proposal check, not a proposal, an idea for me that we perhaps deal with oversight, the actual visit, where are we going to go, which are those two areas that we are going to visit outside international study tour, and then we come to local visits, which we can be able to do province by province, and then we come to issues which we would like to interrogate, because those can be as many as we would like to, so that we are able to deal with this issue separately.
That's very helpful. So there are three areas. The first one is the international visit, the local visit, and then the oversight issue. So our still on the international visit. Zimbabwe or Sudan,
okay.
Or both, and then the Middle East. The reason is you have three. Let's put them. Any other area you think? Honorable Manan,
no.
I nearly said Congress. if there's a fourth one, put it so that we can be able to prioritize and say which one you think is convenient that we must go. So we have three.
Chairperson, just to add on those, I do not agree with the president that you have proposed. But the first one is, if you recall, there were some projects that were outlined that are being sponsored by the ARM. And I think there are some of them somewhere in the DRC. That we need to look at. Because of, as we will be winding up, we don't know whether we'll be winding up the ARF or if we'll be incorporating it into the new South African Development Partnership Agency. It would be prudent to see, because of, I believe there is some millions that we have invested in those projects. And we need to see if they are tangibly changing the lives of people. So we need to look at also a basis to the ARF, one of the ARF projects. Because, you know, projects, you can have nice slides. Someone can come with a slide and show you that what's happening. But if you go there and you see it wrong, it might, you might arrive at a different conclusion. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I agree with my colleague here, but if you look at the countries that have benefited from the IRF, the after the Renaissance Fund, Zimbabwe won't have. So Zimbabwe, this is in Zimbabwe, will be a two-pronged approach. There's that aspect, but there's also the aspect of seeing how the GPA is being implemented. That's one thing. Sudan is also a beneficiary of that. Other than that, there's also the possibility for us to have an insight into the implementation of their, they call it, what is it called there? Not the GPA, called something else. Yes, that agreement.
The CPA.
The comprehensive peace agreement. I especially that we as a country are sharing the post-conflict reconstruction of that country. So that's also a two-pronged approach that we need to. In 2011, we have a reference, which is a very strong. So those two, I think, for me, are the priorities that we need to go to. To delay a lot, particularly in Zimbabwe. In this situation happening next door to us, and I think we should prioritize that.
Honorable Makama, do you hear that Zimbabwe is becoming very important? So my earlier thinking was not of the country. this is the picture of this legend. That Zim and Sudan are becoming like our country. But let's raise the question. When there is a tripartite like Egypt, is it regarded as part of this study group or is it something outside? Suppose, for instance, the minister put a delegation to Egypt. Would that be regarded as our activity or would have just been invited? Or suppose trade and industry, there might be other activities which are joint. Trade and industry on the WTO issue, they decide that will be part to that. Would that be regarded as our initiative or as something done by the executive and so on? And if we source the funding from that side, that we will be part of something funded by the department instead of by us, would that not be taken as separate? Can we adopt that approach? Then it allows us then to have as many things as we can.
Yes,
Chair,
I think that will give the committee more oversight meetings outside in order to participate in multilateralism. And another issue, I think, Peterson, another idea which one can put forward is the issue of planetary cooperation agreement. The committee might need to visit other parliaments to forge cooperation so that there is that interconnectedness in issues of multilateral nature. So that is another issue which maybe the committee could look into.
Thank you. I am covered.
Yes, Chair. I think I do concur with that. But I think there's something that we pointed out during the workshop, the orientation workshop, which is tied to this, that I think as much as possible, the department should involve the committee in some of those activities of theirs, that we should not just be on the lookout, but one way or other, participate in those activities. But there's something else, for the keeping your mind now.
You're going to come back.
Let's come back.
Can we hold it there when it comes to the international for the next 5 years? That we have been able to identify two key activities in the form of
Chair, can I perhaps raise another mandate in relation to that? understanding that you know the critical nature of both situations, but I think we cannot leave out the DRC. The DRC, apart from the fact that we have as a country pumped in millions and millions of dollars into the resolution of the conflict there, but the DRC, because of its geopolitical location, has the ability to plunge the entire continent into war. Now, the DRC is therefore, especially for the central, western and northern parts of Africa, is absolutely crucial. I don't know whether it will be a question of pick and choose, but I'm saying when we discuss or when we identify those countries, I am of the view that the DRC must form part of, must be part of those two.
When you go to Sudan, you must go via DRC. You can't hit the one and spend maybe 2 days in the DRC and then you proceed to Sudan.
I agree with that. But also the economic, the regional economic integration will include DRC.
Can we go to the local one?
Yes, sorry, Chair, the one with the idea that I can take my mind at the time. I'll come back. Thank God for that. It's the issue of interparliamentary interaction. And talk about other parliaments to see how they play their oversight role on issues of international investment cooperation. I don't know whether that's something that we need to do or not, but I think it's something of a learning experience of how other parliaments work in the SADC, countries that are closer to us. Some of them may not be as democratic as we are, but maybe we'll learn some lessons from
that. I'll come back to that. This is the problem of democracy, not growth. The meeting which I'm supposed to attend now will be dealing among others with those issues. Let's come to the local business. I think we are allowed 2 per year. Am I correct? 2 per year. And as part of that public diploma, whenever we go there, can we have something very meaningful as international? We must know exactly why we're going there. Not going there because we're supposed to go to a food fight or because other committees are going there. We must know exactly what we want to achieve. Maybe to start with, instead of saying this and that problem is very easy, what is it when we go there in terms of public diplomacy, which we must be able to go and deal when we go into this project. What you guys have good. We've been busy, but I never heard you coming to me.
No, okay. What we, or what the department had indicated, which did not, or which was not sustained, was a format of individuals to provinces where you have a day with everybody or your policy has, and the first we did was in the in the Western Cape with students. What was it? Was it UCC? Yeah, well, it was UCC. So I'm thinking maybe in that line, if you want to visit provinces, we must arrange with your experts, maybe with the department, the people, and the committee to engage with stakeholders in that particular province. You could see them with your whatever. whether in the form of a seminar or whatever, but I think that would assist a lot.
Honorable Makan.
Chair, one of the you see the controversy around South Africa's policy positions, and well, my own view is I think the department's failure to adequately articulate these positions in the public, you know, and conflicting messages that come out are mainly on South Africa, one South Africa's voting patterns that are. That somehow reflect on our own view, perspective on human rights. That is, I think, one main issue that needs to be, in responding directly to your question, that needs to be dealt with, so that people understand, you know, that when we vote in a particular manner, these are the issues that inform our voting patterns at the level of international multilateral fora. So I think that's one area that needs to be. Because I also think, Chair, that it will address, you know, a lot of the other issues, for instance. You know, under it, you could capture issues of the Dalai Lama, you know. It will deal with South Africa's perspective on Zimbabwe, you know, why we position ourselves the way that we do on a number of these issues. So I think it cuts across.
I'll go to Ralph, Honorable Khalafa, Honorable Boom, then I come to Honorable Koremov, and then I come back to Honorable Manana. In that order. So you're back.
Shekhar, can we decide we want to go locally? I think one of the important issues to consider is the issue of strategy. Province like Limpopo, for example, we are hearing reports about very poor, sometimes appalling conditions of refugees, and most of them coming out of Zimbabwe. Now, for us to build good relations with Zimbabwe, we are looking at how we as South Africans are treating refugees. So, I think the issue of refugees has to be looked at as one of the issues that we need to at our ethical attention.
Thank you, Chair. I wholeheartedly agree with Honorable Makam on this one. But on the issue of refugees, you would recall in our workshop and even in the conference, there was a strong emphasis on xenophobia. I don't know how we're going to do it because we've been calling for a debate on it. Maybe we need to separate it from the local side business, or we need to have it as a focus type of a debate and see how we can help in experts. But part of our you know, oversight business local issues is the explanation of our partnerships and relationships as well. Not only the voting patterns that we do, but explaining in detail why do we enter into some of this strategic partnership and relationship. I think that will also assist, but the xenophobia, I don't know how we're going to link, because it's not only us, it's not home affairs. So we still have a working agreement or arrangement with home affairs for this one before we can go full house on it.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable mention, told my idea. Because he stole my name as well. But I do agree with what you said, but just to add also that maybe other just business to refugee places like what you have downtown, you understand, maybe also a visit to a border post where you have so much of the contract that is particularly bad rich, where there's been so much talk about people coming in through maybe other means other than maybe that will also strengthen our.
I think we should combine all these ideas. The refugees are being there are UN codes for refugees. But I think what we must go beyond that. We also need to look at the migration, the movement of people and skills and labor, and also the xenophobia, the relationship between South African communities and foreigners. So maybe we should make a combination of addressing the issue of xenophobia and the issue of migration and immigration. To connect it with border posts, or with communities struggling with xenophobia linked to refugee centers. But I think that issue of immigration, xenophobia should be, if we talk a visit, it can be combined into one, and stop the visit. But that should be one idea that I think we should put on the table.
Well, thanks, Chair. I'm partly covered by Honorable Mobu on the issue of the border posts. But probably, Chair, also a visit to the Pan-African Parliament, just to get to what is the mandate. I mean, it's residing in our country. So a visit wouldn't be a bad idea. Gotcha, that's my submission.
The young people think alike. I think I agree with that as well. But I'm also SADC headquarters, where we are putting in a lot of money as a nation. I think the largest contribution comes from us. I think there should also be something we can consider. Well, it's not a rock or a patch, but it's not far from here. But maybe we consider it not work.
Let me try and see if we can't pull this together. I think the question posed by Honorable Magama is all that counts. I think the question is, what informs South African foreign policy? You can make that a seminar, and you will have all the different aspects. What informs it? You see, when we're dealing with all these activities now, it's just an expressing of the South African foreign policy. But we have not gone beyond the philosophical as to what informs it. That's why many people do not understand why you take a particular position on the Dalai Lama, why you take a particular position towards the DRC, towards whatever and so forth. Why you take a particular position in relation to the refugees or on immigration. Maybe is it not fair that we consider this idea of and we pose the question, what informs South African foreign policy? And what are the activities? Then you invite experts, who normally invite, in the form of a seminar. You have it in the invest of the North. Part of your audience will be the students. But you must also make sure that there are issues which are pulling other people beyond the students. And then, one of the issues you can be dealing with is exactly what the Rev was talking about. What informs our stance on xenophobia? That we have taken a particular stance. But how should we supposed to be treating the refugees in this country? And I think it would be easy if, for instance, you have identified the investors of the North, that you can even have a visit to the border post in Paris. You see, you can be able to handle all those things, but I think it would need a proper planning. It suggests that prior us having or undertaking that business, we might need one of the sessions to deal with this issue of xenophobia. That's a month after. But a lot of work was done. You have some visits and so on. We will have to pull those issues.
That's very important.
But there's an area we've not dealt with. Somebody has raised it.
have we been able to deal with this matter jointly? Because the issue of the immigrants also talk to Home Affairs, of our porous borders and so on. And then hence you were talking about something joint with Home Affairs. In fact, I see it as linked to the whole security classroom. Because the issues of intelligence, the issues of its defense, but also, and the police. But also, I'm told that the security class, I think some Department of Economic Trade and Industry has been pulled into some, but we can also try and pull it here. Because we must also be saying, I mean, reasoning to our people why South Africa has become a center of attraction.
Mm-hmm.
With or without the war, South Africa remains a center of attraction in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, for many of them, it's their United States to come to Johannesburg or to come to Cape Town. And we must be able to reason those things. And historically,
mm-hmm.
we've been bringing a lot of labor from the African continent. The migrant labor system was responsible for building this particular country. So what I'm trying to say, if you have such a seminar over 2 to 3 days, I'm making an example, then you try and bring a lot of experts, but one of the topics must be a topic which speaks to the grassroots issue, not just to the academic world and so on. But it would also be very interesting to pull the students and make you understand. But prior to doing that, we might need our own session on what informs this foreign policy in South Africa. Yes. And in the form of our own, whatever, small workshop inside here and so on. And we take that debate and so on. So that would be my... The second big session would be on xenophobia, where we pull in those documents which are already there, those visits which are there, the statements which have been released by government, by the different organizations, or even invite some of the organizations. I know, for instance, as the labor movement, we had a very strong statement in relation to xenophobia and what we thought are the failures of government and so on. We can have such a session inside here as part of developing and preparing for that reason in Limpopo would be one of them. Secondly, Limpopo would be one of them. And then maybe now that we have had one visit to a constituency, consider then a visit to the Pan African Parliament, but it must be linked to the other side, because I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's incorrect that we have set up an institution in South Africa. Parliamentarians in South Africa do not know how that institution operates.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you only send some few delegates. One of the issues I hear that is the serious problem of staffing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, most of the staff in the African Parliament are not South African. How do you set up an institution but you're not ready to support that particular institution if it has to be successful? You like it or not? If South Africa does not come into the party in any partnership or any initiative in the continent, but in fact that's what would make the brother leader take over, because we're not supporting it. Now we're talking about wanting to be a president. And very interesting, in some of the documents there, we have put it very well. We see the issue of Africa being a partnership of foreign, I mean, what do you call it, independent, sovereign state. Not what Gaddafi wants, and talks about the president, and talks about this minister, that, and so on and so on. You remember those debates? In the head of mission, this issue did come up. Gaddafi is thinking very big.
Appointing ministers.
Yes, he's serving as a president and appointing ministers and so on. Different from what we see as sovereign and independent. So, I might be the Minister of International Relations in there. But the issue is that, are we anchoring the Pan African Parliament and giving it to necessary support to function properly? I think that's the question. And there are a lot of subcommittees, that article which I said, they must sell copy for you, it's going to be very important. So when we come to the issues, I'll ask Honorable Matama just to sit on this chair. I made a request.
Matama?
No, Matama. My apologies. I said Matama. Mm-hmm. There were no objections. I have to run to that meeting because it's important here. initially it was supposed to be 5-30, but now they push it to 11 o'clock. I feel very strong about some of the issues. You remember these issues kept on coming even in that conference. So, Honorable Mahalo,
but that's before you let me.
I feel one of the issues, when we deal with the issues, would need a special and a department to do some thinking on the staff of vessel in ARF. I think that's a question on its own, but it's coming later on.
Thank you,
Bill.
Thank you, Honorable Mahalo. Just to say, perhaps the committee could, while we issues are being discussed, allocate issues to different times, which will cover the 5-year period. In the sense that the committee will not be able to deal with all these issues this year because of the parliamentary program. So perhaps when the discussions are continuing, the committee could indicate when some of these issues, if there are issues for next year, that should be indicated so that we can put them accordingly, because we are growing a 5-year program, and we can only deal with so much per year. So we need to have that in mind.
Okay, no. So all what we've captured is what we've made so far.
Except I missed what where international visits are going to be.
No, international we understood that it's Jim and Sudan.
Jim and Sudan.
Yes. And there was an issue on
Yes.
And there was another issue on and then public participation is for the towns like Mussina and captured it. But there's an issue by Honorable Government of Foreign Office raised about the economic partnership agreement. I think then we will need a session with both the Department of Trade and Industry and UCO, maybe to give the committee an update that can maybe be slotted in this term if possible. So that members can do the debate. Honorable Mugu, Reverend, you join us? Okay.
Yes, I was just going to say, in response to General, that maybe you could assist us in terms of the time frame for this thing, because you are probably better informed of the parliamentary program. So that you can spread the things according to that program, so that there's no interaction with the program of the parliament and our own program.
The Pan African Parliament that members would like to go and visit, I'm not sure if it's urgent that we have to do it this term or this financial year. Maybe before 2010, members will be thinking about that, I'm not sure.
Where does that go, Chair? Otherwise,
local. We have identified the visit that we want to undertake internationally. We have identified that locally it will be proper if we had some time with the TAP.
Okay. Could that also then include maybe a visit to the headquarters of the department?
Okay.
Since we'll be in the same area?
Yeah. Visit to the headquarters of the department as well as to the Pan African Parliament. Muruti?
I thought maybe there are under local business that include PAP and the headquarters.
So
we are probably missing that. We said internationally we are Zimbabwe,
yes.
We are Sudani, we are DRC, where Middle East finances allowing, understanding that Parliament allows us to, but we also thought if we gave us enough scope, we can see maybe we can have a good solution who can take us to the Middle East. That's why we are pushing all that with that in mind.
Yeah. So in other words, what she's saying is that under
the international visits to recruit all those countries, but the priority prioritization will depend on what you're saying.
Yes.
So just name them there, but you prioritize them there. And Afghanistan, what's going to see the Taliban?
And then local visit, the second one?
CAP.
CAP.
And HQ. CECO HQ.
That we can put as one in one
yeah.
Package.
Yeah.
And then the other one will be the Limpopo one,
mm-hmm.
where we will be dealing with refugees, xenophobia. That will be our second local upcoming trip.
So the Mucina one will be.
The Mucina one will be.
Because it should be two.
Encompassed with the University of Limpopo.
Uh-huh.
So.
The second one?
PAP.
Okay, for now, so we deal with the DICO until they implement what the president has raised with them.
Alright? Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's look at maybe under the international, local, and then regional. We talked about study, which falls under the regional.
Maybe, is it for the
next year? Well, it depends on that. Well, I thought we should put it
as a... No, for now, we identify everything that we
yeah.
want
yeah.
to
yeah.
do in the 5 years
exactly.
of our term here. Then others will fall off, others will succeed, depending on the availability of resources.
Yeah.
When you put it there, under regional, it's regional economic integration and peace and security.
Mm-hmm.
That is the cluster. If we can work out the detail on a visit or where we want to go. But the one is the economic integration, the other one is the peace and security in study.
Mm-hmm.
And then I include the DRC in that one.
The DRC
is
already there. The first one is there. All these things is just a problem. Things that you can change to get rid of the stone most of the time. We come from the conference and we have a service for the IT program. Then tomorrow morning you wake up, you go to the internet, you keep up, and then you go to the airport and come to the
so never this everything that we would like to do and see in as far as consolidating the African agenda is concerned. These are this then you capture that we will need a session on regional economy, the impact thing, the joint city for UCI and ourselves. I guess.
Can I ask one question?
Mm-hmm.
The one country that's left out there from what we identified in the workshop of the major challenges, they said three major challenges, we've addressed two. But the third one is not the Nigerian. Do we want to include the Nigerian issue? as one of the three major challenges in the African agenda.
How do we include this? Do we want to include this as just getting a session with the department about the development in Nigeria, or do you suggest that we need to go to Nigeria?
If I can assist, at the Health of Mission Conference, the ambassador to Nigeria was called to explain what is the situation. And I think, unfortunately, he didn't give, you know, all the delegates what was happening there. But the approach that I'm seeing is happening there is, let's sit and wait.
Mm-hmm.
Let's wait and see what's happening there, because of there is a view that it is disintegrating the West of Africa, but there's another view that says, no, they can be good. So the DDG was saying, at this point in time, there might appear to be crisis, but it's not that the Titanic is sinking. So it might be a point in time. If you look at all the three that we have identified, those are sinking ships. But Nigeria is still, we don't know whether there are extremists there, Muslim extremists that are operating, or is it something that is unknown. So what I would propose to have is they have a session on it and see and assess how intense is the situation, and we can make an informed decision thereafter.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to say, to throw an idea relating to DECO, visit to DECO, because since the committee seems to have a lot of issues to discuss, I wonder whether we can put DECO there as a priority. Maybe we could look into local visits relating to public diplomats, maybe identify, not unless Mosina is going to be part of that. Identify.
Okay. Mosina will be a two-pronged approach.
Mm-hmm.
We will be dealing with issues of public diplomacy,
mm-hmm.
engaging with the stakeholders
mm-hmm.
in the university, then, and then also attending to the issues of refugees, the xenophobic, whatever. So it will be
okay.
Twofold.
Yes. Okay, maybe the trade issue which you raise.
Mm-hmm. That we say we need a session here. Yeah.
Okay, not to go and visit
Kuha
development, because it's something relating to international cooperation.
DTI sponsors that.
Yeah, if
it can be a joint.
But what is key now is that we get the DTI, negotiator. With your Department of International Relations, coming just to take people on board as to what is the latest, what implications does that have on your customs union and all that. That's a question we need to question. A joint one with trade and industry in house.
Mm-hmm.
Honorable Narana. Okay.
Also for peace and security, the same. Because the National Defense Force deploys our troops. It is our decision.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we need a briefing from Department of Defense, like DTI,
mm-hmm.
on economic integration and deployment of soldiers.
Not if covered, Mitchell.
Okay. Can we move on?
Yes.
And if members remember some of the issues and areas that they would like incorporated in this, maybe they can call the committee secretary or the before we finally adopt this document. I assume we'll do that next week, once we have everything. So on the first one, we are almost covered. The next, we said, oh, we'll be dealing with what?
South.
Mm. Okay. South Corporation. Honorable Mu.
No.
I thought you already have your hand.
No, I'm just thinking hard.
Mukarapa.
Mr. President, with the South Corporation, I think one thing that's coming from the East.
Mm-hmm.
We just received some documents about it, and we don't know what the status quo is. And I think that is the biggest thing, because of this thing we heard that the group of five might be extended to the group of five plus one.
Mm-hmm.
Because it appears Egypt is having a backdoor entrance into the G5.
Mm-hmm.
And also the issue of Mexico also being involved in China. So I think if you look at the whole structure of ISTA, it's one thing that we need to get, because there's even an ISTA Women's Forum.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what is happening there. And I think you know better that there were issues with delegations, of whether was it parliamentarians or was it officials or going to those cities. So we got to look at how the structure is. And I think it's an immediate thing, because it was a conference in October.
Yes, from the 6th to the 10th, I think.
Yeah.
So maybe the suggestion is that if we could get a session for the committee where the DDG or the DG will come and make a full presentation of the development in each of our members updated on the issues in that regard. Anything else on South-South cooperation, infrastructure, agreed to? Anything else?
Yes, I see when at the workshop we identified also initiatives in South-South.
Mm-hmm.
Education, health, land reform, fight against counterterrorism work.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we should think in when we interact with the South-South cooperation,
mm-hmm.
look at these key areas of initiative,
mm-hmm.
and maybe keep the strategic goals, because they are, so what you mentioned is all key departments.
Yes.
Maybe we should ask them on specific issues.
What you mean is that we should ask the department as to how is this ISTA arrangement assisting us better our health system, how is it helping us make our education much better than it is supposed to be.
One thing that also came out from the conference, the general mission, was the issue of the involvement of non-stakeholders, especially within the downtown. The business, what we had was that if you look at Asia, most of our businesses are flipping.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of leveraging those partnerships, we had a presentation from Thailand and from China. In fact, one ambassador from China said, it appears between our relationship with China is a one-way ticket.
Mm-hmm.
They are benefiting and we are not, because of we've got nothing to offer China.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the minister said, you know, the Chinese, when she went there, the Chinese said, produce something, we'll buy them. What have we got to produce? So it's one thing that we got to look at. How do we rope in our non-state actors to leverage the opportunities we are offering in Asia,
yeah.
and our relationship with China. And we need to define it. What's the national interest?
Which I suggest that here that it comes under the third column. What Honorable Khalaf is saying now should be scrutinizing relations with China, particularly in the area of trade. It has to be something like that, because I think it's come out very strongly. The imbalance between the trade between some countries in the south, us Chinese, us and Brazil, you know.
Okay. Agreed to. Any other issues, south-south, or you are satisfied, or you are suggesting that those that you remember, you will give the people concern?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You know what we agreed to do? The African agenda, South South. What is the third area?
North South.
Mm-hmm.
multilateral.
Multilateralism.
Yes, yes, yes. Honorable, sure enough. The two issues in the workshop and in the conference are the involved interaction with the EU,
mm-hmm.
as well as France, especially, involvement in Africa. So maybe we may want to look at those strategic partners, EU, which will also link up with a custom union, Europe, Switzerland, but also in France. France is more Western Africa.
Just to add on what Honorable Khan was saying, it's also the issue of Russia in terms of their attraction to Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks as if Russia is also repositioning itself to come to Africa. And we got to contextualize the issue of the EU because of their coming strong since China is now growing in Africa. And there was a strong feeling that we needed to find our relationship. Not only with the EPAS, but you know, the whole continent. The EU also wants to get involved, but the strong point is France and Russia.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
The popular issue that I thought we did not deal with very well at the conference today, our head of coordination, and that's the African. I think they call it American quality, African reaction force or something like that. The was not
AFRICOM.
Yes.
The AFRICOM.
Yes.
African command.
And this
command.
One of the African command, that's right. It's one of the issues that Hillary raised when she came here to come.
Oh, yes.
I think that also should be an issue that we need to look at when we talk about North-South relations.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's actually a way of America trying to control mechanism of presence of its military forces.
Mm-hmm.
But the only place in Africa where it has now is Djibouti, with some links that say also Botswana has some links there, which is not very weak, but it's never good in public.
Yes.
So I think that's an issue that we need to address also.
We agree. Africa.
Especially. Yes, because the AU and SADC have already pronounced themselves on that issue.
Yeah.
I think the Americans are trying to touch now.
They are trying by all means to get it accommodated
somewhere
or somehow. So if we are not careful or if we are not careful, we might wake up having it.
Can I say two other issues? We haven't discussed it except when the first meeting we got a briefing from the department, and I didn't pick it up in the workshop, I didn't pick it up in the sanctions conference. It's this one of TICA. Maybe it's in the previous report, I haven't seen it. The Japan African Initiative in TICA. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. It was raised by the department in the first briefing.
Mm-hmm.
But then we never discussed it. It fell off the table. Is it important that we look at that?
Yes.
To see, maybe it's a legacy issue. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I look through the figures, the three important countries, North, South, on trade and development in assistance is Germany, USA, and EU. Those are the three major strategic partners. So you touched on AFRICOM already, but I see the USA is also on overseas development assistance, by far the biggest in Africa. What are they doing? Where are they going? Maybe we should also get some information on that. USA, EU, and Germany.
Because
we have read
so many
technology is being captured here.
Yeah, because now the screen is...
Your technology is actually failing you.
Okay.
Well,
There are many issues, so we'll try and spread them over the 5 years.
Yes.
So it's better to have them.
Something I noticed when we were in that workshop, in the holiday workshop, I don't know how you can phrase this, but I wrote that the community must play a more proactive role in the implementation of our foreign policy by, for example, participating as a committee in meeting foreign or visiting foreign or international delegations, or as part of ministerial delegations to multilateral governments. I don't know how to say that in brief, but there's also something I noted there was the committee to play some role in the appointment of ambassadors or high commissioners before they take up their standing. I'm not encouraging them to emulate Americans where they don't scrutinize for their appointment. But what I'm saying is that is it possible for the committee to be able to call, for example, Tony Leon, sit in front of us and what is your view, or what is your, or any other designated ambassador or high commissioner, to build the committee on what he sees as or her role when they take up an appointment like that in a foreign country. So that we just know, we get to know them as well. I mean, some of us who attended the workshop in a conference in Santos had the privilege of meeting a lot of them and discussing issues with them. Just something that I'm thinking
about. I'm not sure about that, but what I know is that we communicate our frustration or our appreciation with the department to the DG or the minister. We have an opportunity to have a session, or it can be a whole day session or whatever, where we can raise a lot of issues with both deputy ministers and the minister, as well as the DG. In as far as our own expectations are concerned, we have that platform. They are entitled to come here and spend the day with us. But going directly to ambassadors and other appointees at that level, I'm not sure whether that will assist us. But I think maybe the best way to deal with such complicated issues is to go through the political counterparts, your appointees, your ministers, deputy ministers, and then in some instances when they are not appointed, the DG is the custodian of the department who can take responsibility of the department. So I would suggest that we leave it at that point.
Mark Mahala?
Just to add on to that point, I know what previously used to happen is that we find that sometimes in some of the missions there are certain problems that arise, and then when the heads of missions cannot address the problems with the department, they will also send a letter to the committee through the chairperson for the matter to be addressed. So it's either a matter that can be addressed on an ad hoc basis, or you can set up a session whereby you look at the department and the support that it gives to the missions, because previously there have been complaints about support from the desk, that some of the desks are not providing adequate support, and therefore they cannot do their work properly. So I think you can either approach it in that manner, in an ad hoc manner, or set up a session where you can address the issue of support from the desk.
And in addition, within the department, there's that Foreign Service Institute. That is where the competence of the portfolio committee lies. We can scrutinize as to whether that Foreign Service Institute is giving or is bringing results as we expect them to, or if not, then we can take the department to up the level of understanding of the diplomats that exist through that Foreign Service Institute. I believe that at some point, all of them, whether career diplomats or political appointees, go through the system via that Foreign Service Institute. So if we want to make sure that they represent as well, they do everything as we expect them to, then our focus should be on the institute and what is the institute is able to deliver, or the instances, and make sure that we tighten that angle.
I'm glad that my input has elicited this sort of discussion.
Chairperson, you are spot on. I think what we saw there was we need to seriously look into the foreign territory too. Especially when it comes to, you know, sample appointments of our ambassadors. I mean, what we saw there is that some of them forget what they are representing. You know, they don't know what they are representing. The minister was always on loggerheads with them. Some of them think they are ambassadors of the host country, in that country, not representing South Africa. So there is, we need to engage with the Foreign Service Institute. It might be human error in that maybe people stay abroad for too long and they forget the mandate, or I don't know, but the general assessment we had was that some of them seem to forget, because if we can think about the kind of questions they ask. Someone says, how do I market South Africa abroad? If an ambassador and say hello.
I know that in the third parliament was given an opportunity to can interact with them at the level of those that are your career diplomats as they were exiting, just to get an opportunity to go in their final interview, which was supposed to be their exit interview. Maybe if we can just get to know as to when is that, and maybe give other members of the portfolio committee an opportunity to can go and observe.
Yeah, okay. It takes about 3 weeks for ambassadors, if the heads of mission, for their training at head office. I'll check with the diplomatic academy, the foreign institute, as to when they are finishing, and then I'll give feedback.
Okay, but in the meantime, then in the program, let's suggest that within the program we have a session with the department where we will be dealing with the Foreign Service Institute, the level at where they are now. I'm not sure, the last time I checked, they were trying to get accreditation to be an independent institute on their own, working with UNISA, something like that. So I'm not sure what point they are now, but I mean, if just as a portfolio committee can get to know that and then make necessary follow up with everybody.
That does it imply that some form of a visit to that institute?
Yeah.
Or because to me it doesn't make sense that, you know, we would engage with them on issues relating to the institute when, you know, we haven't been able
to engage. I was trying to establish with LSS to when is the program actually starting, or at the stage where the program is intended, to a point where they are just about to release them to go, then a visit, maybe not necessarily of the whole committee if possible, of some maybe delegation from the committee would be ideal, so that people can go there, have exposure and come back and relate to the committee what their experiences are, maybe so that next year when they come to the heads of conference and the heads of meeting conference, are they still raising questions like how do I market South Africa, but also couple that with a thorough as to what goes into the subject or content into that training which they are given, because I believe marketing South Africa should be part of their package. So if they come back from a post and ask in front of everybody, including the president, as to how do I market South Africa, I think if I was there, I was going to run away from that meeting. No.
Thank you, Captain. I think I'm covered, because I was going to say, indeed, the constitution as it stands now, appointment of ambassadors is of the president, but parliament can, in the way that you suggested, participate in that through
say, you know, visiting the institute and seeing whether the program given is actually channeling them to understand, you know, the policy itself and also to portray South Africa as a brand outside. So that can be done.
And part of the legacy report raised something about the permanent home of the another
Africa
Institute. Yes, the Africa Institute. I'm not sure. Maybe we should just deal with it in one meeting. When we're dealing with the Foreign Institute and then Africa Institute, just to ask the process where it is. Members will remember that we said in the previous term we have been raising certain FTY issues. House where it is with science and technology, and whereas we believe that they are dealing mainly with foreign policy issues, that they come to GILCO.
That hasn't changed yet.
Not as far as we know. Has it changed?
It hasn't changed.
It hasn't changed.
I believe there's still negotiations going on between ministers. In fact, in the past. Cabinet, ministers, both ministers, science and technology, talked about it, but I don't know in the new one.
Okay. Are we done? No, not yet.
Okay.
What are we left with?
We have done North. North. Then we are left with Maltland Terrorism.
Okay, we are there on multilateralism. What are the issues the United Nations in totality?
AU reform.
The Bretton Woods Institution.
Yeah, the Bretton Woods Institution. That's what we got to make sure that we go into it. If you recall, Ambassador Nene was saying, we've got those institutions, but we don't have influence.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to see a way through our public diplomacy, how do we have influence there? Is it because of we don't have the necessary capacity or we are just snuffed up? But the concern was raised that we don't have influence in those institutions.
And if you don't have influence,
there's nothing
you can do much.
I think we also have the financial restructuring of World Bank, IMF, the Financial Stability of WTO, all those we need to reform. And I think we must also have.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Except making sure that we change this one to a better place.
Issues on climate change.
Is it
our core function? Or we can deal with them if we have time. No, I want you to establish.
Yes, Chair. International wants to expand the World Bank and things like that. It is our own cooking, but we have interest in that.
Okay.
Just like the
issue of climate change. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then the other one is the claim on the extension of the
continental
shelf.
Mm-hmm.
That is a. It will form part of oversight where the department comes to brief the committee on how far the process is now.
Okay.
But that case will only get in 2018, isn't it? That case is only going to be held around 2018.
But there are preliminary processes which they are trying to monitor whether they are actually succeeding.
Is there anything?
We just asked whether we included in our report today a discussion to the China.
The BRIC.
And also the minister mentioned that there are 300 million US dollars available from China to us to assist SMEs, and nothing has happened to it. That 300 million US dollars is still there. So we haven't benefited from that. Whether we can, maybe it's the South. And then on the last day of the conference, the major issue for Parliament was the lack of coordination, whether we linked it somewhere in the process. Because the department not, and the minister maybe, and definitely the head of missions, they don't see the portfolio committee there, they see Parliament. And Parliament includes local government and provincial government and national government in everything. If they see Swine Municipality come to sign an MOU, it's government. They don't make distinction with local government, separate from the portfolio committee in Cape Town. So the whole issue of coordinating visits to sign MOUs is a major issue for the department. I don't know whether the department wants to put it on the table. And secondly, they also mentioned many of the ambassadors of foreign countries here are visiting Max Sulu as a speaker, and nobody knows about it. And they come and discuss here. We don't know about it. We don't know if there's a foreign ambassador sitting at the speaker's office currently. And the department will not know it. So this whole thing is a whole of coordination of people, foreign people visiting our institutions here and our institutions visiting foreign institutions. It seems to me it's a big problem. Maybe it's not there.
It's not there, but it has been there, because when this CGI Act, the one chairperson has excused himself to attend, where a whole lot of these visits and whatever are coordinated, and then there's a local committee whose mandate is to exercise oversight over the country. So maybe the clarity, the sooner that is clarified, the better for all concerned, because it is the one that is creating all sorts of confusion. I've noted you, Honorable Madam.
The other issue, which is, and I'm not so sure on whether it, at least to me, doesn't necessarily fall under Zimbabwe per se, but it is indeed the issue of the ARF. Is it part or has it been captured?
Yes,
but specifically, but he has raised at a conceptual level. You know, SABDA,
yes.
SATPA versus vis-a-vis ARF. Now, I'm saying we have disbursed funds through to countries through the ARF, as we speak up, 300 million rand for instance to Zimbabwe. Now, we need to know that indeed, you know, the money has been spent on what it was supposed to have been spent on. Now, whether, but Zimbabwe is but one example. Zimbabwe is not the only country, you know. So I don't want us to say, but no, well, it could be dealt with under the visit to Zimbabwe. I'm saying generally, the disbursement of two countries from those, somehow we must be able to monitor, you know. I don't know whether perhaps somebody will be able to capture it. An accountability measure in terms of that. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But it needs to be encapsulated in our. So how we do it, I don't know.
Chair,
I did ask this question during the workshop to the DG and his team. And the answer he gave was that apparently this money does not all of it has to go to Zimbabwe. Because what happens is that local suppliers are the ones that are paid that money to supply stuff to Zimbabwe, like agriculture implements and inputs. And so my question actually was in the direction of how do we benefit out of that? And that was his answer, that much of the money actually stays in this country because it goes to pay the Celtic line of credit that suppliers can use that money to purchase those things that are sent to Zimbabwe. I think that's more or less the answer to what you're saying.
but it still does recognize, it still does not deal with the fundamental issue of accountability.
Yes.
The issue is accountability.
I think, Chair,
whether well, part of oversight, we
yeah,
need
part of
to
oversight,
get
yeah.
to know L2. There were 300 million has been sent to the government. This is how it has been spent, and maybe we need to be provided with necessary documentation to that effect.
I'm covered, Chair, and I just wanted to raise what Honorable Makamo says, to say it still doesn't speak to accountability.
Yeah.
Because the other money goes to suppliers, suppliers would have to account. They spend so much on 1, 2, and 3. So we still need that process where people come and account that so much money has been spent for whatever reason.
Yeah, I think this is my question. I've even asked it in the workshop. I asked the Auditor General whether we're getting any for money from the ARF. And he threw the ball back to my head. That it's up to you, parliamentarians, to do oversight and see if that thing is. Because it's not like Department of Housing, where you can go and contextualize and say it's 300,000. That's where the money went. But we, as parliamentarians, must go there and physically see that that ARF is working. Because of this, another issue coming. This new South African Development Partnership is coming. We don't know whether we're winding up ARF or what's going to happen. And there was some 6 million of bad debt that was written off as well. So I definitely support that. We need to go and see this project in the ARF.
You know?
Thank you, Chairperson. We'll note it under African agenda.
Yes.
And I think another, there are many projects actually under funded by
the African
There is a dam in between Mauritania, Mali, and
okay.
Yes. There are many project areas which the committee can visit and see. Follow up on the contribution that South Africa has made on those areas.
Thank you. Members, is there anything else you feel that we have not dealt with in a yet more hour?
The last one, I think, is the issue of the quarterly report. National Treasury says we must expect quarterly reports from the department. Because this department is a unique one. You don't get monthly reports because by the time the end of the month comes, they're still waiting for an internal audit for a meeting in Djibouti or somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need to do is, on a quarterly basis, we need to do oversight on the finance because of the National Treasury said we've got the lack of internal independent audit of this department. So we have to see how do we capacitate it. Number four, there was a strong feeling from the AG that we need to monitor those quarterly reports and make sure that they are in line. How we can capacitate the department. But in some instances, it appears that the internal audit will not happen.
Okay.
I just want to make sure now, in this plan that we finalize, that the obvious issues will be included there.
Yes.
The annual report, the strategic plan, the budget, the Auditor General report within the annual report.
Mm-hmm.
So we haven't discussed it, but when we see it, it will be there.
Yes.
I just want
to
make sure.
Yes.
That's the parliamentary function.
As parliamentary function, the main one will be there. And then from this discussion, the two or the three staff members will try and in between, slaughter in those that we have identified as key issues that we want to address as soon as yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I wanted to say to them, perhaps after this, they go and bring everything together, and then they circulate it to us by maybe, what is today? Wednesday. Mm-hmm. By 10 o'clock Friday, before we leave. Our constituency, so that next week, when there are issues, we realize as members that there are issues that have not been properly tackled, then we are able to dig into that document by Wednesday. We adopt and remove. Is that proper?
Agreed and proper.
Hold on for a moment.
Sir, one last, you will recall in our workshop, one of the issues that emanated was that there is no common definition of what national interest means, what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we must reach a point where we begin to define for ourselves, you know, what we mean by
national interest.
Okay.
So are we suggesting that as the portfolio community, if everybody else in the country is scared to can initiate that debate, as parliamentarians we have nothing to lose, we can start that debate, maybe through the seminars that we have proposed in the program. But amongst other things, we want to come together as all South Africans interested in the foreign policy to define what we understand or what we mean by our national interest, so that when you go, whether as an ambassador, whether as an MP, whether as a business person,
yeah,
you know exactly what it is. Maybe it might be a debate we initiate now.
We will finalize
it as we go. But before we go, I wanted to thank the madam from the PhD who has feel it important to come and spend time with us. I'm just thinking that maybe you may not have benefited from the actual debate as we had expected, because you can see we were trying to get our house in order, we're trying to come up with a plan for the committee, but otherwise your presence here was highly appreciated. Maybe I'll give you just 2 minutes. Okay, before
one last issue, Patterson, is the training needs.
Okay. What do we do? Do we do an individual assessment that I need training in speaking?
It says not for individuals, but for committee. That's what Honorable Bantella.
If they are saying a committee, what would it be like? I mean, speaking is an individual thing. Writing is an individual thing.
You can maybe protocol.
It's a very good
example. Okay, members, what is it that you require to assist you do your oversight better?
We need money.
Or you need French? One of the languages.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe understand what is the problem with the proposal. Sometimes it's easier for the community to bring the program that we have and say in that program, this is what I can, this is what can benefit me. Yeah. It's usually the best way than to say I want this. That would benefit the community. This is what you can bring. Like,
okay, maybe to start, the understanding of the other languages in the continent other than English as we do here will be important for the community.
Mm. Absolutely.
That will be training that will assist us.
Especially French.
Yeah.
Especially French.
Especially.
Yeah.
And then maybe French will be followed by another language.
Portuguese.
Yeah. Okay.
Can I say, I agree with that, with the language. And the other one which we've mentioned, but we have not in the state
protocol.
State protocol, we need to get training. I would think. And it's a head of state protocol. It's a hard decision.
So it will be French and state protocol.
Or let's make it one of the three African languages. If it's French, that's fine.
French, Portuguese, and
Swahili.
English. You know English.
Okay, are we done with Neil?
There's one issue we haven't raised, and that's the one on African diaspora.
Oh, yes.
Where are we going to put that in the program? We're talking 5-year program?
We
want to put that in the summit proposed for African diaspora.
Okay.
Surely we need to be involved or be and engage.
Okay. Will you take care of that? Thank you. Manana?
Chair, probably training on diplomacy as well. It's very important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. so that you are able to differentiate as to whether there is private diploma.
No, no.
So I'm saying it will be on the three languages, French, Portuguese, Swahili, state, protocol, and diploma. And Honorable Madam.
Thank you.
Oh, you're not
going to go to the
you're not.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Thank you, Madam Jefferson. I'm sorry I'm a 2016 group person, but I will try to say to you this meeting was very useful for me. As you all know, an African Parliament is a new institution. So we need to improve our work. Is why the Parliament sent us to every Parliament for an assessment, so then we can improve our work. I saw how we work, and it will be useful for us. Thank you very much for the warm welcome.
Thank you.